that is the music of the professor, Dr. Deborah Stroman, former player, former coach, current UNC professor, and UVA professor, knower of so many things sports, but especially college hoops, which means this is an exciting weekend for her. I know it. Deb, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on this Final Four Friday. How's it going?
Things are going well. And as it's been stated, for fans of college basketball, men's and women's, this is an unbelievable weekend. But for those of us who are attached to UNC or Duke, it's a very stressful weekend. So I think that's the range of emotions here. But I just love the fact that on Saturday night, we have the Battle of the Blues, and we should all never forget that we are really blessed. It's a wonderful opportunity to be in an area where basketball is so loved and appreciated.
Yeah, no doubt about it that this whole week, but especially today, and I imagine tomorrow too, just feels electric here in the Triangle. And there's really nothing quite like it. Like, I know the phrase very well. There's a book named after this rivalry called "To Hate Like This Is to Love Forever." You know, this is why we watch. And of course, it's coming in such a storybook time. It's the Final Four, not quite the national championship game, thank goodness, but it's the Final Four. It's Coach K's final season. Deb, it's pretty incredible that this game is finally happening. I don't know about you. I just hope it lives up to the hype, because this is going to break viewership records, I'm sure. People are going to be incredibly tuned into the game tomorrow night, especially since it's in the primetime slot. We've been talking a lot about the game, but do you actually think that the game will live up to the hype after such an exciting game the last time these two teams met?
Well, as much as we don't want to believe in conspiracy theories, that the NCAA set this up for Coach K, they set it up for us to meet them, that the referees are going to, you know, make sure that Duke gets all the calls they needed so Coach K can go after a national title. Forget all of that. I just think that these teams are so good, and they're going to be so well prepared for tomorrow that they will go back and forth. They will go back and forth. I just can't see someone having a run such that, you know, a team is blowing the other team out. I just don't see that. They're going to fight tooth and nail each and every second of the game. So with that being said, I like the senior, the veteran, the more experienced players of Carolina. And again, Duke's players have been superstars probably since they came out of the womb. So they played big games in high school. They played big games in grassroots basketball. They played big games at Duke, and none bigger than 94-81. But the national championship in a dome, and they are first-year college players, that's a different atmosphere. And yeah. So I'm thinking that the more experienced Carolina players, and not that they are all, you know, they've been to the dome before and they've been in this situation, but they have years of experience playing with one another more so than Duke.
Yeah, I hope it is as exciting of a game as you referenced, the 94-81, the game where Carolina beat Duke in Cameron Indoor. But what made that game so interesting was that both teams went on different types of runs, and it was so back and forth in terms of high scoring offense. And we know Duke can really put some points up on the board, and that's kind of how Carolina has been beating people is by outscoring them this season. Their defense has really improved though, Deb. On the offensive side though, these guys are playing now, going from playing in normal basketball gyms to the Caesars Superdome, a football venue. And every year around the Final Four, especially in big stadiums like this, we do kind of hear about how the sight lines are different, how it is a little bit different to shoot with nothing behind the basket at all. I'm curious to if you think that favors one team more than the other, because we know that Carolina is a very shooting, three-point shooting reliant team, but Duke does as well. Have you thought about that element and how it could potentially play into tomorrow's game?
Absolutely. That is a big, big factor. I know when I would play in certain gyms where it's not all tight all around the gym, it makes a difference. And so when you think about it, our star for long distance shooting, not saying that RJ isn't, but Caleb Love, and he shoots very, very deep. And so I'm sure the coaches have had him practice over and over again. Griffith, again, first-year player. So we'll see how he handles it. But, yes, that will definitely be a factor. And then, of course, it's all about, you know, shooting is one thing, the art of shooting. The other thing that's very, very important is the assist, how you pass the ball, where you pass the ball. Casual fans might not, you know, be aware of how important when a shooter receives the ball, where they receive it, the height of the ball, whether or not the shooter has to reach for the ball and make adjustments. And so when we think about the passing to our outside players, in particular Brady and Caleb, the passes have to be crisp. They have to be right where the shooter wants it. So that will make a difference in terms of trying to overcome the depth perception with the arena.
Yeah, yeah. I think turnovers, kind of, as you mentioned, the depth perception, making those passes, turnovers probably going to be a key element to the game tomorrow. Now this is the third time that Carolina and Duke are going to be playing each other this year. So Carolina fans at this point probably feeling pretty confident that they, you know, they can progress past just the casual fan side. So let's get into some nitty gritty here. I want to talk about Paolo Banchero, likely top three pick, playing for Duke, and at times in both of the Carolina and Duke games this year, has absolutely torched the Tar Heels. Carolina does not have a true matchup for him defensively, but what we saw in Cameron was that they did a good job of making him uncomfortable kind of as soon as he was touching the ball at the top of the paint, just denying every single entry pass to him, making it a little bit more tricky, and it did seem to get him out of his rhythm in the second half. Dev, do you think that that's what the Tar Heels will try and do again, and how do you think Duke is going to try and scheme around that?
Paolo is first year. Paolo wants to show the world that he is one of the best players in the country, and he is. And so what I expect is that Paolo and possibly a few others on Duke are going to come out so hard and so intense that it actually could work against them. And so Carolina needs not to be frustrated if he starts off with, making some key shots and all of that, because we have to think about the mental side of this, that he wants to really prove all of them that 94-81 was, it was unacceptable, as coach says, and they want to win big. But sometimes when we try so hard, it actually works against us. And so Coach K will probably be telling his players to actually relax. Take it easy. Don't go out there just saying, we're just going to blow out Carolina. You have to let the game come to you. And I don't know how much Paolo has experienced in that. Certainly not much with UNC, because he's only played two games against, his arch rival. And yeah. So I think we can use that, the sense that they want to crush us, they want to kill us, they want to embarrass us. We can use that to our benefit. Be patient. If there will be a run. Right, but you're always in the game.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dr. Deborah Stroman. Oh, man, incredible game coming up tomorrow night around 8:50 or so, maybe 9 o'clock after Kansas and Villanova tip off in the Final Four. Carolina and Duke is going to be hopefully one for the ages, Deb. Do you want to talk at all about Kansas and Nova? Those are two teams that I know I haven't watched as much. I think people will probably look at it and say, well, Kansas maybe should be the favorite here because they've been high scoring. They didn't have too many issues in the tournament. Villanova has Justin Moore injured with an Achilles tear, unfortunately, that just happened in the Elite Eight round. So the Jayhawks probably favored in that game, but do you think that they'll actually come out on top, or do you think Nova's going to kind of drag them into the mud and make them play to their level like they did with Houston?
Well, my heart is with Villanova. I grew up outside of Philadelphia as a child, played on Villanova's campus. So the injury is major, but I heard Coach Jay Wright state that this isn't new to them. They've always had someone to step up this year. They've had a number of unfortunate injuries and, different things that had people step up. And if you know the grit, the persistence of Philadelphians, even when you come, you come from another state, but now you're part of Villanova and Philadelphia, they're going to give Kansas a very, very good game. The other thing with Kansas is that they have been inconsistent. As much as they have won, there are some moments they look like, a great, great team. And then next moment they're like, what's going on here with Kansas, right? They had to come back against some teams in the tournament. So I won't rule Villanova out on paper. Yes, losing your number two player, arguably your best player, that's major. But with times like this, you really have to dig down, next man up, and I expect that to happen with Villanova.
Yeah. Of course, our community's focus has primarily been on the men's Final Four, but things get started tonight with the women's Final Four up in Minneapolis. And while the men's side is definitely blue blood programs across the board, the same can very much be said for the women's Final Four too. It has been an incredibly exciting tournament so far, and it should be an excellent Final Four there as well. Deb, what do you think our listeners and people tonight should be paying attention to when it comes to the games of South Carolina, Louisville, and then UConn and Stanford?
This is a coach's chess match. You've got four of the best coaches in the game. Whether you just want to learn more about basketball, you want to see the women's game, which is played more under the rim, watch these games. You've got two Hall of Famers, Geno Auriemma and Tara Vanderveer, you know, UConn and Stanford going at one another. UConn, definitely, with their superstar Paige Beckers, it's just going to be exciting to watch Stanford control her. Stanford is solid. They're deep. That's going to be a great game. And then, of course, more locally, we've got South Carolina and Louisville. Jeff Waltz has basically started a powerhouse at Louisville. They're always one, two, or three in the ACC. And then, of course, we've got Dawn Staley, who's won a national championship. And her program is solid. Some people say this should be her third championship, but pandemic got in the way. But she's got the player of the year. And they are deep as well. So it's just going to be great basketball. I'm so excited. In fact, I think we're about 90, 75 minutes from tip-off. And tomorrow night's going to be very, very emotional for me. But it actually starts tonight.
Yeah, it really does start tonight. I want to give a shout-out, too, to the Carolina women's basketball team, because it seems like they were the ones who gave South Carolina the biggest run for their money so far in the tournament, actually led them at the end of the first quarter and have had the closest margin of defeat with the Gamecocks in the tournament this year. That was a really great game that happened last Friday.
And Coach Staley spoke to that. The determination, the guts, the never say die Tar Heel team. I would love to see this, we establish a long-term contract with South Carolina. I think North Carolina and South Carolina women's basketball should play each other each year. I know everybody wants to be on South Carolina's schedule. You get the national attention. You get the great attendance. But if there's a way, Bubba, please, if there's a way to make that happen, and it might not be us. It might be South Carolina. You know, again, they get their choice of who they want to play. But there's no doubt that the Tar Heel program has turned the corner. The recruiting is great. The staff is doing a wonderful job on and off the court, and so I would love to see them get bigger games with some of these blue bloods of women's basketball.
Well, we always appreciate the insight, Deb. I'm going to let you go so you can get ready for those games tonight, and of course, can't wait to hear you back on the air talking with us about your takeaways from whatever the outcome is on Saturday. We appreciate the time. Go enjoy your weekend. Thank you to Dr. Deborah Stroman.
Thank you. Go Heels.